pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Without a quick invocation, dear Heavenly Father, we gather again in Duck County business. We ask your guiding hand upon this meeting and that you wash over each one of us safely and take us all home this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all for coming. We hope to be able to answer any questions that you've got tonight. I am going to tell you that Commissioner Boggs needs to slip out early about, 6:15? He's got a commitment. If you can think of anything in particular that you might want to hear from Commissioner Boggs, be thinking about it so that you could ask him before he leaves. Otherwise, I think I'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Bob Bass here.
Thank you, Judge. Good afternoon, everyone. How many of you were in attendance at the meeting earlier today? And how many were not? Two folks were not. I just want to make sure I didn't bore everybody too much with repetition. Redistricting is required by provision of the federal constitution and case law that has been decided under that Article 2 of the federal constitution. Essentially, what started out is a requirement that the Congress be reapportioned after each federal census has been handed down by case law over the years to smaller governmental units. And it now applies to virtually all governmental units down to county commissioners, court, city council, single member districts, school districts, and single member districts, water districts, hospital districts, you name it. So the process is relatively simple. You take the number of elected officials on the executive committee or the body, in this case the commissioner's court, who are elected from those districts for commissioners. You divide the county population by four and you get an ideal precinct size. And then you compare the actual population of the precinct after each census to see how close you are to being balanced. The maximum deviation, as it is called, the deviation from the ideal, is 10%. So anything in excess of 10% is presumptively unconstitutional and would require the lines to be redrawn. If you follow that methodology, we did that here in Titus County, and we learned that Precinct 3 was underpopulated by 406 people, or about 5.02%. And that Precinct 4 was overpopulated by 573 people, or 7.02. You add those two percentages together, disregarding the plus or the minus sign, you get a maximum deviation of 12.11%. So that means that we have to redraw the boundaries. Now, when we make any change in voting policy, practice, or procedure, that has to be pre-cleared by the Department of Justice, so we will be required to submit a proposal, and it also means that we have to comply with the Voting Rights Act, which essentially says that we must meet or exceed the benchmarks that were set 10 years ago in our redistricting plan from 10 years ago. So in the 10 years since the last redistricting, the county's population gone from a total population of 49,000 after the adoption of the map, of a final commissioner's court map, to work with the elections administrator to get the boundaries realigned, and then we will submit a supplemental order for the court to adopt, and then once that's adopted, the whole package goes to Washington. So I would like to think before the end of the month that we can receive comment tonight and take that into any account, have the plan adopted this month and submit it to Washington before the end of June. Any questions from anybody? I can provide it when you say live document.
Well, I mean, sometimes you keep changing documents, you know, they don't always stay the same.
It's not going to change from its present format, I don't believe, unless there are comments received tonight that suggest it doesn't need to change. The other change that was made was more, I don't want to say cosmetic, but 10 years ago, we needed a polling place for this box of 16, and the only close by place was the Civic Center, which is down here, I think. So then we came in here, used this road right of way, came down Jefferson Avenue, and took a slice out of the Civic Center for a polling place. This time, rather than do that, there was some controversy or question about doing that. We just took all of the census blocks necessary to physically include the Civic Center in Precinct 1. For about 100 and what did we say earlier, 15 people in this area, south of I-30 down to 16th Street. That's the only other change that was made. The rest of the boundaries for the rest of the county, voting boxes, polling places, everything else will stay the same.
And so what I heard you say was that precinct 2 was increased?
Overall minorities, the black percentage did not increase. It actually went down somewhat, but that was a function of yes, over time, the black population has moved out of precinct 2. It's now only 12% of the total. The Hispanic population has gone from 31 to 47%, so it has increased significantly. And the combined minority, 47% Hispanic, 12.8% black, results in about a 8-point more minority district than it was 10 years ago. Now the other districts are not weak by any means in terms of minority representation, but I've not been able to build a, because 2 was so close to being ideal in size, I would have had to rework 2, well, in all of the precincts, quite a lot in order to build a more solid minority district. It would have meant changing all of these up quite a bit. And I guess the thought was that people, despite what they say, don't like change, right? So they don't like to be told about somewhere else. So when you do that, you run the risk of diluting the turnout because people are then confused about, well, where do I vote? You can say when you vote the same place you voted for the last 10 years, you're likely to have more turnout than if you change everything up a lot. And so my thinking was at the percentages we were at, we were probably pretty clear and why make a change if we could avoid it over the population shift that really only needed to be made between 3 and 4. So that, in a very quick nutshell, is what the change was. As I say, right here, about 500 people, and then about 115 here. But
adopt this, when we adopt this, this goes into effect January 1st, correct?
Correct.
Of 2012.
Right.
All right. Now, these people in this block that's changed over, will they vote in precinct 3 in 2012?
They will. The first election that comes up will be the March primary, so by that time, the plan will have been implemented, and so that those folks that were being moved will vote at their new polling place.
I mean, you talked about it earlier, I didn't ask to clarify it, and that's kind of the way I perceive it.
Right.
But,
you can't implement what they call implement the plan until it is pre-cleared, and so that's why we want to get it submitted as soon as we reasonably can.
Right.
So that it can be pre-cleared before implementation, which typically is the opening of the filing period for the new offices. So that opens in December of this year.
Right.
And so people need to know where the boundaries are going to be so that they can file for the office. So hopefully by no later than first part of December, we will have a pre-cleared plan. And so people will know before the filing period expires, at least, where they will be eligible to run for. And then in March, people will vote for everybody but those 500 people out in 10 and 15 and 6 that are being moved, and the 115 people that are in precinct 1 that are being moved. Everybody else will vote where they've always voted. But those folks will receive new voter registration cards.
Right.
And the voter registration cards actually are supposed to go out in October. Hope we're pre-cleared by October, but we may want to send everybody else's cards out where there are no changes and hold the cards that would be affected by the change until we're pre-cleared and then send those out.
We're only talking about 650?
Something like that, 600. And that's people. I don't know how many registered voters.
Right,
that is.
That's just people.
Yeah, it's going to be only about, I would guess, 200 to 300 registered voters are affected by this change at the most. Again, we always strive to make as little change as we possibly can and meet the obligations that we have, and that's sort of one of the goals, because it just means better continuity, if you want to call it that, in elections if people don't get confused about where they vote.
Well, I certainly appreciate you doing this. Makes it a whole lot easier.
This is the third time I've been through it. This is the easiest it's ever been.
Well, you know, it could be as hard or as easy as sometimes it is harder. I think 10 years ago, we had to make quite a few changes.
Yeah, we worked pretty hard 10 years
ago. The population, although it's increased by about 10,000, it's been relatively static in location. In other words, there's not been a huge shift of population. And sometimes had you had a big boom in the disparity between 1 and 4, where 1 and 4 don't touch, then that makes it difficult. And that's sort of some of the stuff we had 10 years ago, is where the precincts were out of balance, they didn't contact each other, so you had to migrate that population through all of the precincts. It makes it a lot more complicated when that happens. Now, I will say that if when we go out and look at it's possible, one of the things you might want to look at, although I doubt you could consolidate some additional voting boxes if you felt that was something you wanted to look at, but to save some money because it's expensive to hold elections. But you don't have so many boxes that looks like it would be something that would, it looks like most of your boxes are appropriately sized. For example, precinct 8 is 3,700 people. 15, nearly 1,600 to precinct eight.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, we're over right there. Eight has 3793 right now. Now, where you see a box that's only got 200 people in it, even though I assume, you know, the closest I ever came to getting whipped as a result of one of these meetings was over closing a voting box. It was a little tiny box that didn't vote 10 or 15 people. And, but it's, you have to staff it like it, the same number of people as a bigger box. And it just didn't any longer make sense to keep that box open. But you would have thought I was talking about taking somebody's children away. But I understand people do get, it was the last vestige of an old community that had, used to have a school, used to have a, you know, and the voting box was the last thing that had that Mayfair name on it, I guess. And people just didn't want to see it go away. And I appreciate it.
Well, I'm telling you that way myself. That voting box is really important to a lot of people.
A lot of people is what they have.
Sure. And, you know, I'm just saying one of the things we always ask, you know, if you look at while we're at this process, now's the time to do that sort of thing. Just to make sure, you know, so whether you're interested in it or not, now's the time to make those determinations. But
I'm probably interested in that right now, Mark.
Anything else?
That box you have shaded right there.
Huh?
How many is in that box there?
Well, that's what I'm trying to let my little display box disappear on what I did. So they're all, you know, minimum size is about 500 voters or 500 people. You can size a district up now, though, to 5,000 people. So a lot of the counties are creating big precincts where they're at in the rural areas. The distance is a factor. You don't want to make it people drive too far. But if you're in a more urban area, more compact, and you've got some smaller boxes, you can size them up to 5,000 voters, and that's probably closer to 10,000 people, just to try to save economies of scale and the cost of holding an election.
There in box eight again, what'd you say was in there?
Box eight is 3793. That little piece in there.
If you have a storm, my house flooded downhill, I'll be in this floor.
Okay, you're there, okay.
If you throw a line across the street, text line.
Bob, I didn't get any wording for an agenda item, so I'm gonna try to get that to me tomorrow.
Yes, sir, I've already mentioned it to Stephanie, I'll try to get that to you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, I don't have anything else, if anybody else does not.
I'm going to adjourn.
Close the favor.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.